What does the Kentucky game mean to each fan base? Will the investigation ever be over with? And why will Tennessee win this football game in Lexington this weekend? I will tell you all that along with help from Trey Wallace of Outkick.com. He joins the show here for a Thursday Locked On Vols.
You are Locked On Vols, your daily podcast on the Tennessee Volunteers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What is up, everybody, and welcome into a Thursday edition of Locked On Vols. Thanks so much for hanging out with me here today and making Locked On Vols your first listen each and every morning. Locked On Vols, 5 days a week, Monday through Friday, available and free on every single platform, YouTube. It's coming soon. I'm your host, Eric Kane, a radio personality at the flagship station for the University of Tennessee. That's 99.1 The Sports Animal. I also write for the rival site covering Tennessee football and recruiting. That is VolQuest.com. So, got a fun show coming up here today. As I mentioned, the cold open, Trey Wallace, he's going to join me in segments one and two, and we discuss a bevy of topics. Of course, Tennessee heading to Kentucky this weekend. We'll break down that game, this Kentucky team. We'll talk a little bit about Tennessee so far, year one under Josh Heupel, and we'll look a little bit into the lingering investigation that is happening right now on campus with the NCAA, or really the internal investigation, but with the hand of the NCAA. So we'll get to that here in segments one and two. And then finally, to finish off the show, you know, what does this game mean to both fan bases? I put some things on Twitter this week. You guys have been really active in responding. I'm going to read some of those, but also I'm going to kind of dive through a column I'm going to post to VolQuest.com later this week. Kind of about how this isn't your grandfather's Kentucky anymore, but it's still a game that Tennessee should always be equipped for and ready to win, just point blank. I mean, you know, not to give anything away, but not breaking any news here, Kentucky should never out-recruit Tennessee. And for that reason alone, you know, this is a game that Tennessee should win every year, but it's not your grandfather's Kentucky any longer, I can tell you that. But that is the show rundown. Without further ado, we'll go ahead and get into it. Here's my part one of my conversation with OutKick's Trey Wallace. Trey Wallace, OutKick.com, joining the show. And Trey, I appreciate you taking the time. Hey, you recently, you know, went over to OutKick and taken on kind of a new role outside of the Tennessee football beat, really just covering the SEC in general. Real quick, tell the listeners kind of what you do and where they can find your work.
Yeah, Eric, thanks for having me on, man. It was a nice move. You know me. I always love being on the beat, the crazy grind that we enjoy. But OutKick gives me the opportunity to cover the whole conference, and it's been good. You can follow me at outkick.com. Always follow me on Twitter at @TreyWallace_. Still giving folks the Tennessee coverage they want, but just kind of spread it out to the conference a little bit as well.
A rather big football game happening in Lexington this weekend. The Volunteers travel up to Kroger Field to take on the Wildcats. Kentucky 6-0 starting the season, have lost two straight. What do you make of this football game? This is a big game for Tennessee, obviously, because it could be the first win for Josh Heupel as Tennessee's head coach, first win against a ranked team, and it could be that pivotal seventh win on the schedule when it's all said and done. But really, Trey, I just think this is a game that Tennessee should go up there and win. What say you?
Eric, I'm calling Tennessee to win this football game, and we're doing it right now. I feel like Tennessee is a healthy football team. If they get a certain number of these guys back, especially along the offensive line, especially, you know, if Evans is better at running back, I think this is a squad that can go up there and give Kentucky problems, just like what you saw with Mississippi State and how fast they were running their offense, where it looked like Kentucky, you know, by the start of that fourth quarter, man, they were just gassed on defense. And, you know, I also look at the situation for Tennessee's defense as well. Kentucky just does not impress me a lot if it's anything outside Chris Rodriguez. And that's the big sticking point with me this season. If Rodriguez or Smoke cannot get anything going out of the backfield, I don't feel like Kentucky has enough where they can just sit there and try to rely on Will Levis. You know, Wando Robinson, one of the best wide receivers in the conference, but it comes down to that point where if Levis gets put in certain situations that he can't rely on his running game and the offensive line, things aren't going to go their way. And I can see Tennessee trying to cause multiple problems on that front. But, you know, really breaking it down, man, and looking at it, I just like the way this is going to play out when it comes to pace for Tennessee. And in my opinion, they've got the advantage of quarterback.
Yeah, Trey, I'm glad you brought up some of those deficiencies offensively for Kentucky. I mean, Mark Stoops, and something we've been talking about in the pod all week long, Mark Stoops has tried to change a little things. He fired an offensive coordinator, fired his quarterback coach, brought in some talent from the NFL to run his offense. But at the end of the day, it's an offense that still relies on the run game, relies on the defense, and it's last in the SEC with 61 plays per game on average. It's the same old Kentucky. Why is it the same old Kentucky when I feel like some moves, you brought in an athletic quarterback, when you felt like there were some steps taken to try to change that narrative, but it just hadn't changed?
Well, I think it's also something where they're not getting many explosive plays down the field. And you know, Eric, you know this, man. When you can't separate on defense and everybody can pinpoint what you're going to be doing, which is running the football, or Levis gets outside the pocket and tries to make plays with his feet, you know, you can kind of narrow that down when it comes to a defensive standpoint going up against Kentucky. You know, if you look at even the passes that they make, the you know, either Ali or Robinson, you know, more of these are 10 to 15 yard outs compared to 30 yard downfield fades, throw something along those lines that are going to open it up. You know, and so I look at Kentucky's offensive problems, and I've been talking about it for the last, you know, month or so, that I just didn't feel comfortable with what they were doing when all they were doing, especially, was relying on Chris Rodriguez and Kvasie Smoke to get things going. You know, you saw it in different aspects where, you know, Rodriguez might get 7 yards one game, and he might have 7 carries or 30 yards the next game, but then all of a sudden he has like 147 in another game. You know, to me, that is just so relying on what they're trying to do in the rushing attack that you're taking away anything that they can try to expose when it comes to passing the football. And for some reason, Eric, they just don't like doing it. They don't like opening things up down the field. And if you're giving teams the opportunities, okay, well, we don't have to play too high safety. You know, we can play different multiple defensive coverages on you and bring the pressure up the middle. And that's what you've seen Kentucky run into, and especially against Mississippi State. I thought the Bulldogs played really well on defense, and they were able to attack the quarterback. Look for Tennessee to do the same darn thing this weekend and put Will Levis in some pretty rough situations. And then, you know what? Tennessee's offense is quick enough. I think they're good enough to take advantage of a field position on Saturday.
Trey, I was working an angle earlier in the week at Media Availabilities and something I'm going to put out at VolQuest.com later in the week. You know, what does this Kentucky game mean to you, said coach, said player, whatever? Because, I mean, again, you look at the series, it's been dominated by Tennessee. It's been very competitive of late. But I did ask Alante Taylor this week, hey, what does Kentucky game mean to you? And hey, he said, hey, if there's one thing I knew coming in, it's you beat Kentucky. Where do you think this game ranks in terms of importance with the fan base and, of course, with the players right now? Because I feel like for fans, it's, oh, it's just Kentucky, that's an automatic dub. That's not the case anymore, though I think it will be this Saturday.
Look, this is always going to be that rivalry just because of the state border, period. When you look at this thing and the history of it, you know, you can go back to the beer barrel. You know, with Tennessee and Kentucky, there's always been some kind of element to it. Like, and there's also always been, you know, pretty decent games, you know, with this one. Even, you know, you can go back to the days of the Peyton Manning and the Tim Couch shootouts. You know, there's always been something to this matchup. And even when Tennessee was winning so many consecutively. But you look at Kentucky, and I think it's because they've maybe upped their program a little bit. In the past 6 to 8 years, I think that has something to do with it. You know, and it's also there's some recruiting battles that both teams have lost against each other in a certain time period. But overall, I just think it's, you know, it's a little bit of hatred from both sides of it, and that's completely understandable, and that's what you want. I look at this rivalry now, and I see that it's there. And I think that's the neat thing about it because, you know, you need to add a few more to the list, I guess, in Tennessee's case. But overall, this is something where I think Tennessee adds to, you know, the win column this weekend. I think that, you know, this is something where Kentucky is battling Tennessee for recruits at the moment. And I think this would be a nice little, you know, viewing party for some of these Tennessee recruits to say, okay, things are going a different way in Knoxville. Maybe we need to be paying more attention to it. And that's why I think this stage is so big for the Vols on Saturday night. You know, it gives them the opportunity to showcase what they have going on, but it also gives them an opportunity to showcase how much we've progressed as a program over the last, let's say, 6 to 7 months. And I think that's what recruits seem to see. And I think this is personal for some of these Tennessee players. And you know what? You want that just as much as it is personal for some Kentucky players as well.
That was part one of my talk with Trey Wallace of Outkick.com. We'll come back with more with Trey, but first, it is betonline.ag. Such a fun and exciting sports time right now. Hey, my Atlanta Braves are World Series champions. I don't bet on my teams, but I'm sure a lot of you guys made some coin, especially if you jumped on those Atlanta Braves at the trade deadline at plus 5,000 odds. Am I right? But you can do all that and more at betonline.ag. Plus basketball, it's coming up. And there's a brand new sports or brand new web interface. And it's just in time for the start of basketball season with more props, odds, and lines than ever before. It's your number one spot for basketball and football. And you can head on over to that new website with the new interface on your desktop or mobile device and sign up today. And when you do it, you're going to receive a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Just use the promo code LOCKEDON to receive that bonus. I mean, from basketball to football to the baseball postseason that's now in the rearview mirror to the NHL to boxing, UFC, all that, and right to your favorite Las Vegas casino games. You don't have to wait to take advantage of all these amazing offers available for the 2021 season, okay? Bet online, it's still the fastest, it's still the easiest, it's still the best way to bet on all your favorite sports, okay? Bet online, it is where the game starts. Trey Wallace, Outkick, joining the show, and I got three more for you, and we can hit them, you know, rather quickly. I know you're a busy man, but I do want to ask you, I mean, look at this Tennessee team. It's exactly where I thought it would be at this point in the season. You beat the teams you're supposed to. You lost to the teams you were supposed to before the season with chances to win, and you've won a toss-up game already. I got to say, though, when I look up and down this roster and how this team has performed, you know, it's hard not to be impressed with what Josh Heupel and what Tim Banks have done so far with absolutely no depth and the real limitations at certain positions. I mean, look at what Tennessee's defense is doing with Jeremy Banks, who's very much improved, I will say. He is turning into a linebacker, but guys like Aaron Beasley and Solon Page, typically guys that wouldn't be out there in normal years. It's hard not to be impressed with the start that Josh Heupel's getting off to in Tennessee. Wouldn't you agree?
No, I agree completely. And I wrote about this a couple of days ago. You know, when you have a linebacking core like Tennessee does, where you're really just rolling three guys, that's it.
Yep.
And they've been doing that for quite some time now. You know, it shows you, you know, if you're getting stops on defense with Jeremy Banks, and this is no shot at like Aaron Beasley or Solon Page, you know, but not dedicated linebackers, like, you know, not guys that have been playing the position for 10 years or, you know, straight out of, you know, high school or whatnot. You know, this is something that I think Tim Banks has done a great job at. It's kind of simplifying this defense where, you know, guys in the secondary along the defensive line, even at the linebacker spot, they're able to get to their spot and they're able to figure it out pre-snap what's going on, you know, and they kind of, you know, in a sense, dumb it down a little bit because it's just going to help them. Let them go out there and just play football. And I think you have to do that when you don't have a roster that is just filled with All-Americans or also however you want to put it, and especially a roster that's so thin. And then, you know, Eric, look at the offensive line for Tennessee and what they have had to put out over the last 4 weeks. And this is not a knock at, you know, at Dane Davis or Ollie Lane or anything along those lines, but they've been missing Cade Mays. They've been missing Cooper Mays, you know, along that line. And I think that for what they've been able to do and how they've been able to run the football or have protection in the pocket, I think it's a testament to what Josh Heupel and Tim Banks have put together at Tennessee, along with the other coaches, of saying, okay, look, we know the hand that we were dealt, but we're going to make the most out of this hand, and we're also going to win some football games and surprise some folks. So, and even hanging into some football games, like that's the biggest thing, because I don't think the Alabama score indicate, you know, is real indicative of how that final game, you know, turned out. So I look at Tennessee, and I think Josh Heupel is progressing really well in his first year.
Yeah,
at the spot.
Yeah, sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off there, but I would completely agree with you. I think that final score, the Alabama game, people just see that score roll across the bottom ticker on ESPN and say, oh, Tennessee got blown out again. Well, not really. They were gifted 14 points there at the end. Hendon Hooker, there's no way he's not back in Knoxville next year, right? I mean, I know he's not going to make an announcement during the season. He has another year of eligibility, but there's not a chance that he won't return, right? Well, what are your feelings on that?
I'm not going to come out and say 100% yes, he's going to return. You know, if we don't know, but I mean, I think, look, Hendon Hooker would do fantastic things for himself and his career if he spent another year under this Josh Heupel system. Now, you're going to have people that are going to tell you, hey, look, if you have a strong four games to end the year, five games of the bowl game, how do things look in the NFL? Well, things are going to look interesting in the NFL because there's not a lot of stud quarterbacks right now in this draft. You know, so I think it kind of, you know, mitigates the results a little bit, you know, when you're not top-loaded. So I look at what Hendon Hooker has done. I think he has progressed so well. I think he has played tremendous since that Pitt game. And I mean that in the sense of he was thrown into the fire. Like, you know, they were rolling with Joe Milton. And you had a quarterback that came in there, you know, and he looked, you know, it looked kind of slow offensively, like he was learning every game, every week. The speed was picking up more for him. And you look at his passing efficiency and what he's been able to do on the ground. You know, and I go back real quick, you know, even that Alabama game, you didn't see the real Hendon Hooker because the real Hendon Hooker was beat up. You know, you didn't see him scrambling 10, 15, 20 yards down the field. Like, his numbers would have been a lot better in Tuscaloosa if his knee wasn't banged up. So I am now very interested to see what a Hendon Hooker looked like for the next month as he is getting a little bit healthier. And maybe, you know, his numbers go up, Eric, or, you know, maybe he throws for more touchdowns. But I see Hendon Hooker coming back next season. I see him being QB1 from the day the season ends to the day the season starts next year in 2022. And I think that will only benefit him in the long run, especially with Josh Heupel one more year.
And when was the last time Tennessee fans could sit there the entire offseason and not have quarterback questions? So I think that'd be neat. Now,
exactly.
I agree with you. I think that he will return. I just, you know, you mentioned it's not a great class for quarterbacks, but you continue to see his name just kind of moving up and up and up on these boards, and it's something worth watching. Last thing, it's loaded. You can give the synopsis of it real quick of your thoughts, but a question I'm asked at least three times a week, and I never have an answer for it because, to be completely frank, I'm not following the story, but you broke the initial story about the recruiting violations, everything that's happened since then. Jeremy Pruitt has come and gone. Where do you think this investigation stands, and how do you see it playing out? Because at this point, I do not believe Tennessee will self-impose any type of postseason bowl ban. Maybe some scholarships down the line, but it's just been dragging right along, and it seems like there's never an end in sight.
I feel like there actually is an end in sight. I think that the Bond and the Glazer Group and all those guys, I think they're wrapping this thing up. I don't think Tennessee is going to self-impose a bowl ban. Here's where I'll put that. They're not going to come to these players and say, hey, listen, we appreciate all your hard work this year, but we got to self-impose a bowl ban for this year. They're not doing that with 4 weeks left in the season. So we can go ahead and table that conversation. I think that you're going to see recruiting restrictions come out of this. Stuff that Tennessee, by the way, has already quietly started to do. Tennessee's yep. already tried to help their case out a little bit with the NCAA.
They have indeed.
It's not like Tennessee is going into this thing and being like, okay, we'll start right now with everything we're doing. No. If folks are listening, understand that Tennessee has already started the process of penalizing themselves in certain areas. So I look at this thing and I think they're, you know, the recruiting restrictions, scholarship reductions, whatnot, I think that comes down. I think you're going to see show causes for the others. But I think we're getting to that point where folks can stop worrying. I don't think they would announce during the season. And maybe I'm wrong if it doesn't hurt the program or hurt the Curtin players, then I think you go ahead and do it. But, you know, just from talking with folks this week and last week, I think this thing is coming in for a final landing, and I think they've kind of put together what they're going to present to the NCAA. It's not even presented, too. I mean, you've been working with the NCAA the whole time. You really just need to give them a phone call and say, hey, man, remember that conversation we had yesterday? All right, you agreed to it? Okay, we're good. So, but no, Tennessee has already done everything, I think, to get the ball rolling on any kind of punishment. And I think it's a good idea that what Tennessee has done from a recruiting standpoint to help themselves out down the road, but they're not having to deal with this a year or two from now.
Well, there you go. So an end maybe in sight here pretty soon. We'll have to see. But, of course, this has had many moving parts. It's been going on for quite some time. Great stuff there from Trey Wallace, Outkick.com. Trey, thanks so much for spending some time with us. A lot. We went kind of all over the board there, but I admire your work. I appreciate your friendship, and appreciate you joining the show today.
Eric, absolutely loved it, man. Glad we could do this. Congratulations to your Braves, and look forward to seeing you soon, buddy.
Jump on, brother. Appreciate it. Fantastic stuff there from Trey Wallace. Be sure to check out all of his work, Outkick.com. Follow him on Twitter at @TreyWallace_. All right. In this episode of Locked On Vols, it is presented by McDonald's. And McDonald's is an awesome sponsor of this podcast. It's not just a place where you go to get tasty, affordable food. It's a place where, you know, friends and family come to reconnect. It's a place where classmates can meet up for a study group, studying for that big test, working on a project, and all the while knowing that they're going to have dependable Wi-Fi to count on, as well as endless supplies of French fries and McFlurries and apple pies and whatever the case, whatever you want. Win or lose, hey, it's a place where teammates, competitors, the home team, even the away team can stop by to recharge after that afternoon at the Diamond. It's a place you always look forward to and stopping on those long road trips to rest your legs and refuel. Okay, everybody has a local McDonald's. It's been a staple in my community, in your community, and it's something we always sometimes take for granted, right? But the easy convenience of pulling through, getting a value meal, something off that value meal in that drive-through that just doesn't take long at all. The Southern Sweet Tea is my favorite thing at McDonald's. Man, sometimes I roll into McDonald's just to get me a sweet tea because, you know, really I'm loving it, right? So McDonald's is just something that's been with us for a long time, and it ain't going anywhere. So go to McDonald's, your local McDonald's. Check out all of your favorite treats. That's at McDonald's. So much more than just tasty, affordable food. It's a place where you can have fellowship with your friends and family. McDonald's, I'm loving it.
Welcome back into Locked On Vols, a final segment here of a Thursday show. Really looking forward to catching up with one of the colleagues in the Rivals Network who covers Kentucky. That conversation will come up on tomorrow's preview episode of Locked On Vols before we head into Kentucky week. So here to end on a Thursday show, I wanted to kind of preview with you guys. I know a lot of you guys kind of overlap, and you might read some of my work on VolQuest, and can't thank you so much. Can't thank you enough for getting a double dose of me on a daily basis sometimes. Really means an awful lot. But I want to preview one of my columns that's going to come out, you know, later today or sometime before the Kentucky game. Essentially, hey, you know, this is I've been pretty adamant all offseason, really the last couple years, where Tennessee is in its stage in the rebuild. You can't just assume Kentucky's a win anymore. It's not a guaranteed, you know, part of that two-game win streak to end the season like it was for so many years. Now, you know, it's just not. Now, I don't think Tennessee's going to be in this category much longer because I really like the way Josh Heupel is turning things around and the direction of the program. But I don't think it's any secret. I think the world of Mark Stoops. I think he's a heck of a ball coach, but he is a certain ball coach, and he is everything that Jeremy Pruitt wanted to be here at Tennessee. That's great at the line of scrimmage. That's playing really solid and sound defense. That is running the football very, very well, controlling the clock, and just ugling up games, right? It's straight 1990s football. For some reason, I love that brand of football, but, you know, I'm a defensive-minded guy. But nonetheless, I mean, scoring points in this offense is very exciting, don't get me wrong. But nonetheless, I think Mark Stoops has done a fantastic job. I think he has done more with what he has than any other coach in quite some time. I don't think he's the best coach, obviously. I mean, I mean, let's get real here. You got a living legend down there in Tuscaloosa with what he's been doing. But, I mean, even Nick Saban, he's a fantastic coach, and there's a reason why Alabama is Alabama and Clemson is, you know, Clemson, you know, before falling this year. And, you know, some of these great coaches are, you know, who they are because they built the program. They've got a great culture. They know how to, you know, get a staff together, and they teach the game of football very, very well, right? But they also get some of the best athletes from around the country, right? I mean, anybody who wouldn't want to go to Alabama, you know, Alabama and Kentucky come knocking on your door, both of them. I mean, you're going to go to Alabama right now, right? You'd be a fool not to. But with what he's been given, with the recruits that he's brought in, he's done more with little, I feel like, you know, than any other coach that I can think of here in the last couple of years, for sure. I mean, he is the second longest tenured coach in the SEC. He's at 9 years, okay? That's second to Nick Saban's 15. He was tied with Gus Malzahn with 9 or 8 seasons last year, but of course Malzahn is fired. But nonetheless, you've got Mark Stoops, who is second longest tenure coach in the SEC at nine seasons, okay? He failed to surpass 5 wins in each of his first 3 seasons at the helm, taking over in 2013. But following the first 3 seasons, Stoops had 4 consecutive winning seasons from 16 to 19, okay? In 2018, we remember that. That was one of the best years in program history with a double-digit win season. The Wildcats last year finished 5-6 during that COVID-19 shortened year, but of course that was an all-SEC regular season. Kentucky's already ensured a .500 record so far this year, and after the Tennessee game, they've got 3 more winnable football games left. I mean, you're looking at potentially a 10-win season. I don't think they're going to get there because I think they lose this Saturday to Tennessee, but I mean, potentially you're looking at a 9-win season again for Mark Stoops. The last 4 years, they found great success against Florida, right? After losing 31 in a row, the last 4 years they've been 2-2. They had a win in Gainesville back in 2018, right? You know, bottom line, this is not the same 4-5 win Kentucky team that you see on the schedule every single year. It's just not. But in saying all that, Tennessee should never enter this football game year in and year out feeling that they are outmatched in terms of depth, in terms of talent, and really in terms of record at this stage in the season. I mean, you just should never be in that situation. Tennessee's been in that situation a couple of times the last few years. My point is you should never be in that situation. And I do feel like the way Josh Heupel has this program going in the right direction, Tennessee won't be in that situation anymore. Now, heading into this matchup, you know, I like Tennessee's talent. I think Kentucky's got talent in certain spots for sure. I mean, I've raved on Robinson all week long at what he does at wide receiver. I think Josh Ali's a good wide receiver. I think Rodriguez is a good running back, though he's had his fumble issues this year. I think Kentucky's really good at the line of scrimmage. I think they've got a couple of defensive players that are really, really solid, like Josh Pascal and Jacquez Jones and all those guys. But nonetheless, you know, Kentucky's got Tennessee in depth right now. I mean, that's there's no ifs, ands, buts about it. Tennessee has no depth, and we know that, okay? We watch this team. We follow this team. We podcast every day. We know that. But that shouldn't be the case much longer is my point. You look at the series in this history. I mean, it's not even close, okay? It's, you know, Tennessee's 81-26-9 when leading this series. 117th meeting coming up on Saturday. The schools have met every single year on the football field since 1944. Tennessee had 26 straight victories between 85 and 2010, okay? The Vols have won 7 of the last 9 meetings, but Kentucky has pulled off 3 wins since 2011. In fact, Kentucky's 11 of the 26 wins in the series for Kentucky has come in Knoxville, but prior to last year's just deflating 34-7 crushing loss inside Neyland Stadium, they hadn't won at Neyland Stadium since 1984, all right? So, again, this is a series that has just been dominated by Tennessee year in and year out. So, when Tennessee fans, well, Kentucky's Kentucky, right? I get that. I understand that. And I think this year's team is so Kentucky because they have so many limitations on the offensive side of the football. They really, really do. But my point remains, and I hope you see where I'm coming from and kind of get what I'm stepping in here. You can't just assume a victory over Kentucky anymore. You just can't, because like last year, they will show up and punch you right in the mouth and send you home crying. Okay, that's what happened last year. Tennessee got its butt whipped, and if you just show up ill prepared and not ready to roll, Kentucky is good enough right now where it is in its stage under Mark Stoops in its 9th season and as a program, to where if you're ill-prepared, they will beat you.
but that shouldn't be the case year in and year out for Tennessee, and I don't think it will be much longer. So, you know, it's not your grandfather's Kentucky anymore, but it's Kentucky nonetheless. And for Tennessee fans, that should still equate to a winnable football game at the end of the season. Again, I think this Saturday is a very, very winnable football game. But in years past, I don't think Tennessee entered this football game with great hopes, or not hopes, but great chances of winning a football game because they've been just so limited. That shouldn't be the case much longer. I put on Twitter, do you expect Tennessee to beat Kentucky every single year? That was the graphic on Twitter a few days ago at Locked On Vols. We had Clark Grisval, yes. Nick Deckert sent in a little gif of Talladega Nights. Yep. Did we just become best friends? Yep, you best believe. We'll continue working down here. We got another yes. Drew Parsons says he got the shaking head gif. Yes. You got another somebody else. Yes, this is like asking a UK fan if they expect to beat Tennessee in basketball every year. I would agree with that. That's a great analogy. You have Trevor chiming in. Yes, even if I know it's impossible. Dylan says it's kind of a proven that if they don't, they are looking for a new coach soon. So, yes, that being Tennessee. So I appreciate your responses to that. That just kind of goes to show you that, again, a lot of times we don't see the player, we don't see the team, we just see the Wildcats on the jersey and expect to win. And though that's how it should be every year, it's not how it's been the last few years, but I don't think that it's going to be that case much longer because Josh Heupel is building something that is pretty good here, I feel like. I mean, you just get some more depth, more players, and some more guys to feel comfortable in this system. And who knows? You know, we'll have to see. But year one through eight games, 4-4, being competitive in every single ball game for bits and pieces of it. Absolutely. I think that Josh Heupel's off to a good start. All right, so that's a little bit of my preview that's coming out of VolQuest.com. It'll be in written form if you want to go back and read that a little bit later, but I gave you the Cliff Notes versions there. But appreciate you guys hanging out with me. That is going to do it for a Thursday show. Thanks so much for making Locked On Vols your first listen each and every day. Tomorrow's show is going to be big. We will preview this Kentucky football matchup with our game preview. We will talk to some of the guys from the rival site covering Kentucky, and we'll get you a few more news and nuggets on the way out of your work week. Hey, make Locked On SEC Chris Gordy your second listen today. That man has been busy, been covering the World Series. He's the flagship station for the Houston Astros, Sports 790 in Houston. But my Atlanta Braves got him, so I'm going to have to talk a little trash to him. But anyway, Locked On SEC, give it a listen with Chris Gordy. Only place you can get news on the SEC 5 days a week in podcast form. That is Locked On SEC. Guys, we'll talk to you again for a Friday show. But until then, enjoy the rest of your Thursday, everybody.